Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up? And welcome back to the Kinda Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Tim?
Nothing much, Bless. Nothing much. You see Carl Jacobs got a burrito at Chipotle?
I did see that. I wanted to actually order that burrito earlier, but it was like too close to the actual Gamescast recording time. So I was like, shit, okay, I'm just going to get McDonald's instead. So that's where I got the smoothie from. But I saw that you had a burrito and I was like, what the fuck is life? Did you see that he was at the Kids' Choice Awards presenting?
Mm-hmm. With the Bella twins? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense. Do you think it makes sense, Nitro Rifle Andy Cortez?
No, not at all. I hopped into his Twitch stream and he was like, oh, Andy, we got to talk KCA. I was like, what the fuck is KCA? And he was like, Kids' Choice Awards. And I was like, all right, I'm down to talk Kids' Choice Awards whenever, Carl. Come to our stream. We're ready for you, big dog. Yeah.
And speaking of big dogs, we got the big daddy, Greg Miller.
Hi. How are you? Hi. Good to see you. I just got to a new shop here in my game, and there's a Fantasia Erotica. So, you know, I'm about getting that ROM. I'm living that ROM life. And Anna, ladies and gentlemen, the cyberpunk world, y'all know.
Just for the record, Greg has been calling me a pervert all week because I like Nier Automata, but it sounds like he's hanging out and buying.
Hey, who knows what this ROMs do? This is part of the game. It's not part of the, hey, look up the skirt thing, get the achievement, you fucking sick fuck. All right? Get out of here.
One achievement, all right? Just one.
Is it really an achievement?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's every time you hear somebody talk about
Nier.
Listen, you played Metal Gear Solid 5 and loved it. Quiet was half naked the entire game.
She had to breathe through her skin. It made perfect sense for the narrative.
We take what we can get here, all right? That doesn't discount the incredible story that's in that game. You just have to look up a skirt every once in a while.
Greg, just sounds like pervy excuses, you know?
And also, I didn't get the platinum. I don't care about trophies, so I didn't look up a
skirt. Maybe if y'all would have played, you know, a little bit more Peace Walker, you'd have some more ammunition for pervy stuff in Metal Gear games, but you didn't play enough of it, so you don't even know what I'm talking about. I could ruin my own spot, Andy, but I won't. What up, Paz?
Oh my god. Well, I guess this is the Kind of Funny Games cast where each and every week we get together to talk about perverts and video games and all of that good stuff. Of course, you can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for the Kind of Funny Games cast, and we'll be right there for you. We have a really special one coming up in a couple weeks with Reggie Fils-Aimé. He decided to grace us with his presence. We did an interview with him. It was a lot of fun, and I can't wait for all of you to hear it. So if you want to do that, you know, I'd recommend you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny because you'll be able to get it ad-free when it comes out, just like the rest of these shows. You'll be able to watch most of them live as we record it, and most importantly, you get the exclusive post-show where we play a fun game show brought to you by Blessing, and it is utterly fantastic, especially in recent times where we have been playing his twist on Family Feud. Shout out to our Patreon producers Fargo Brady, Pranksy, Tyler Ross, Delaney Twinning, First Responder ND, Julian the Gluten Free Gamer, James Hastings, Casey Andrew, and Anonymous. We appreciate all of you so very, very much. If you don't have bucks to toss our way on Patreon, that's totally cool. When you're out there buying stuff on the Epic Game Store, including games like Mythforce that we're going to talk about later, You should use the Epic creator code KINDOFFUNNY on all of your Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases. And today we're brought to you by Credit Karma, but I'll tell you all about that later. We got some fun embargoed stuff to talk about that Greg can finally get let off leash and talk about, including Evil Dead, the game. You got to go down to LA. You got to hang out with Bruce Campbell. I'm sure you asked him a whole bunch of Marvel questions. And I'm sure he answered all of them. Is that correct?
No, we made a video going after Khalif Adams, if I remember correctly, and making fun of Paris.
Good use of your time.
Yeah. We talk about the game, though. We talk about Evil Dead, the game, but I wasn't going to hit him up. The Doctor Strange stuff. You know, and not to mention, if I even bring it up, like, you know how it would have gone, right? Hmm. By the way, Bruce, loved you in the Spider-Man Raimi films. Thank you so much. Have you ever reviewed those with your friends? And I'd be like, yes, I have. And like, did your friends act like a bunch of morons and rate them too lowly? Yes, they did. And then he would have been like, what about you? And I'm like, I would have said I fought the good fight, Bruce, but like, I couldn't win over these chucklehead morons who wanted to rank him so low. And he would have said, never talk to me again. Give me your pinky. And I would have done it. And I would have no pinky. And I wouldn't be able to talk to Bruce Campbell anymore. So I had to hide all that. But you can see him and I trash talking on TikTok right now.
I thought what you were going to say is, hey, Bruce, I loved you in that new Spider-Man trailer. It's crazy that you're back.
Ah, yeah, try to do the old catch him. Try to catch him right there. Yeah, no, I don't do that game. I've done that. I've had it blow up my face, Andy. Did you ever hear that story? One time during Up at Noon, I asked the developer, hey, it's total softball, where I called, it was at the time, I called the PlayStation 4 the Orbis, because that's what it was known as. And I was like, hey, you know, that's doing that thing. What's going on with your game coming to Orbis? And he answered the question and totally broke a million NDAs. And we weren't live, so we had to cut it out. And like, it was a huge brouhaha.
Wow. Brouhaha. Now he's scared. I'll never do it.
Terrified. He's terrified. He'll never talk again, they said. He gave me his pinky after that. I played Evil Dead the game, Tim. How are you?
Good.
How was the game? So I'm getting back on track.
Tim's reaction.
I know. I didn't expect to be asked.
Blessing saw the same thing I saw. Is it good?
Timmy, I went down to LA a couple weeks ago now. It actually feels like a long time ago to play Evil Dead in a couple different sessions with a bunch of different influencers. Shout out to Danny from G4. We were hanging out there. Shout out to Gerard. We were hanging out there. And shout out to Bruce Campbell, the one and only there, hanging out with me. Like I said, over on the Kind of Funny Games TikTok, there's a TikTok Roger made of him and I, John at each other. But then Barrett has all the footage from me playing a whole bunch of Evil Dead. And so the idea is, if you've missed it somehow, and I say somehow, maybe you missed the Game Informer cover or just isn't your jam, Evil Dead the game is coming up May 13th. It's coming from Saber Interactive, and it is another 4v1, four survivors versus one basically demon master, dungeon master kind of thing, asymmetrical multiplayer. So if you've been following along long enough, you know that that starts to sound like my jam, whether we're talking about Friday the 13th, which I, of course, was completely obsessed with, even though it was broken in many places, and then, of course, later on, Predator Hunting Grounds, and then even be excited for Ghostbusters coming up, which I'm in, but obviously a Ghostbusters fan. And of course, I'm talking about Ghostbusters, Spirits Unleashed, not Ghostbusters, VR, different conversation to have. I'm also excited for that, but I'm not in that one yet.
We'll see
what happens. Fuck, goddammit. Can you imagine?
Just like somebody who just is not really a fan. Like,
you're just there to do the job, hang out, be a ghost.
I watched the movie for interview. It was pretty cool. They asked me to be it.
And so Evil of the Game is all of those things here, and it's coming to everything May 13th. It's on all the PlayStations, all the Xboxes, Switch, and PC. I think you asked it at the top before we got off sidetrack, and I did it. You're like, when I throw it to you and you know, we all laughed at you. Did I like it? I want to put up front, yes, I liked this game. I had a lot of fun with this game. I think it's going to be an interesting conversation as we go and I start to talk a bit about my fears for this game overall. But at the top of it, as you watch it right now, and this is my gameplay footage, I had a great time with Evil Dead the game. Again, it was me and three other humans, I don't know why I say it like that, three other influencers versus Bruce Campbell's son, who was actually playing Anthony. He was playing as the demon dungeon master. And so the one downside to my report on this is that I only got to play as a survivor. I never played as a demon. So I only know this side of the asymmetrical multiplayer, not the other. Luckily, of course, there's a million previews going live today. On top of that, Game Informer has a cover story, and they have a whole bunch of footage up of being the demon and being the dungeon master. But I'll give you the nutshell of that. If you're the guy who's running it, the Demon Master, you can go, you know, basically free wheel, free camera all over the map, try to find the survivors, and then, you know, use your points and abilities to spawn enemies there to have Deadites come at them. I can go into a little bit more of that, but I didn't play it. But from the survivor thing, what I found fascinating and fun about it, right, is I'm going to compare it a lot to Friday the 13th, because you know I'm such a fan of Friday the 13th. I liked this in a lot of different ways because it ran better. It looked better, and it empowered you. Friday the 13th, always, you're on the run from Jason. And again, that makes sense, I think, for the IP. And I think it's worth pointing out at the top of this, I am not an Evil Dead fan. And the way I love Friday the 13th, and the way I love a number of different horror movies, Evil Dead was never my full jam. I liked Army of Darkness. I like Bruce Campbell and everything I've ever seen. But I'm not the encyclopedic knowledge of what that was going on and what Evil Dead was and what Raimi did with it. So I can't speak to it as a fan perspective, but I think that's actually, to some regard, a refreshing take because of so many hardcore Evil Dead fans are going to be talking today about the game. But for me as a Friday the 13th fan, it's running really well. Yes, back to you, Tim.
What about Predator? Would you consider yourself a Predator fan? Because you seemed, if I remember correctly, you seemed to have enjoyed Predator's gameplay even more than Friday the 13th, even though Friday the 13th, I know, was your shit. I don't know if Predator was your shit or not.
So Predator, would I consider myself, would I would never tell you I'm a Predator super fan, but I would have told you, like, growing up, me and my, you know, me and the guys watched Predator all the time. So, like, I knew Predator 1 and Predator 2 out backwards and forward. I never saw the most recent one from Shane Black and stuff like that. But
it's not like a Nick Scarpino situation where he's a big fan of those movies. But I think we all kind of just really dug the game.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Predator, even though it had its own problems from Ilphonic, I think it was a more competent game in a lot of ways than Friday the 13th. Like, you, Predator set its sights on being a first-person shooter, also mixed up with fighting a Predator, and both of those played really well and didn't have as many game-breaking bugs as, you know, Friday did. However, Friday was my favorite of those two games right there, because I love the Friday the 13th franchise so much. I think they replicated a horror movie so well, and I think they did something really interesting and fun with it despite all its flaws and, you know, the scope of that game that got too big and kind of collapsed under the pressure that was put on it. So back to Evil Dead, there's a lot of that here where it is, you know, again, it is a game that is about teamwork. It is about the survivors being together. It is about you completing your objectives. It is about you trying to get out of there alive or revive your people, right? So that's all there. But like I was saying, it's, since it's not just a Jason chasing you, it is spawning in deadites. It is bringing in bosses. It is bringing different monsters. You are offensively capable. You are doing these grotesque finishers, right? Like, Barrett, if you have the footage I sent over, right, at 7 minutes and 7 seconds, I put in my notes here, there's one where my character, who is this woman from the game, right, the, yeah, if you want to dial it back, right, just gets on top of this deadite and smashes the head into meat, like, just destroys it, right? And there's a million of those, and they're contextual based on what weapons you have and all these different things where that is meant to be there. You are meant to kill these things. You are meant to have enemies that come at you and that you actually feel like, I can take these down, even when you're surrounded, right? It's kind of like zombies at times. And granted, there's different classes and different things that'll happen. And then you're monitoring your own health. You're doing all these different things. It's going on. It feels good. They have an interesting system for fear in there, right? So if you are all together, your fear meter goes up slower. If you ran off on your own, your fear meter will go up faster. You can go to fire to completely wipe out your fear meter, and like, you can start a fire, but it's just like every other, you know, one of these games you'd imagine. Depending on classes or whatever, you start with no matches. You have to find matches to light the fire to do the thing. You start with no weapons. You have to find the weapons to do the thing to go around. You have to communicate and use your map and do all these different things, right? All that, I think, is pretty standard, what you'd expect, and fun. The thing I think that is either going to make this game endearing to a lot of people or a turnoff to a lot of people is that there is so much going on in this game. Like, Friday the 13th, right, was, all right, cool. Are we hiding from Jason? Are we, if we're crazy, trying to kill Jason? Or are we getting away on the boat, the car, surviving till morning, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you look at the footage here right now, and if you're not an audio listener, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. You see at the top, like, the two triangles of three filled in, right? You start this game. You have 30 minutes for the first two phases, I think it is, which are, okay, you need to find the three pieces of the map hidden on the world, unify the map. Now that you have the map, that tells you where the Kandarian dagger is and the Necronomicon pages are. Okay, you have to go get those things. And when you get there, that's basically a horde mode. Stand in the radius, get, you know, earn the thing, fight off the waves at you. All right, cool, you've got those. Now you have to use the dagger to go fight the Dark Ones, which are like three witches over there. Again, I'm way in deep in Evil Dead knowledge. I don't know. Fight these three witches that you stab there. All right, you stab them. Now you have to destroy the book and close the portal. And it's just like, that is just to win the game and go on, right? Don't even worry about the fear, layering and all this different stuff. When you get your fear to a certain extent, the demon can possess you and turn you on your group, which is cool. But then it's like, that's going on, right? And then when you get out of it, or actually, when you start the game, right, there are 13 different survivor classes. So there's like 13 different characters, 13 different survivor characters. Those are spread out across four different class types of leader, warrior, hunter, support. And again, so now we're getting into, if you see where I'm going, and Andy, I think you'll feel me on what I'm putting here, right? Is that we're getting into a little bit of what Evolve, I thought, had a problem with, where it's like, cool, here's this fun game about fighting monsters.
Yeah.
But you need, do you have a support? Like, we got our, like, I did not win one of, I did four matches. None of us ever won. And it was two, the same group twice with each of them, right? And granted, we're playing against Bruce Campbell's son, who I think has, you know, played in practice and knew what he was doing to an extent. But still, I thought we would, we I never saw the final phase. We never beat the witches to go to the advanced thing and do the thing. So you're doing all this, and when we lost the first one, the people were like, oh, really? You guys should get a support class in there, right? You guys were doing a lot of hunter and a lot of warrior, right? Which, of course, every one of these comes with an active skill, a passive skill. And then this is where you want to, again, go into the tipping point of this. You have four different classes, 13 different characters spread across them, and each one of those 13 characters has their own skill trees and active ability of, like, cool, this guy will, you know, be able to, when it recharges, drop shield amulets so you can make shields or whatever. This person will start with a gun. This person can do a buff that'll make more damage. It's all the stuff you'd expect there, but it starts to get so specialized that, like, you know, on match 2 and 3, they're like, oh, do you want to switch characters? Like, well, fuck no. Like, I need to learn. Why would I want to start over? I'm finally getting maybe a groove to some extent with this. I need to know what's going on. Andy Cortez from twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
And Greg, as you are continuing to play it, did a part of you not want to move on to a different class? Because are you permanently getting persistent experience on one of those characters that, like, well, I almost got this ability up to level 2 yet. I don't want to switch off yet. Like, 100%. Is that happening as well? God dang,
it's what you'd expect, where you get the skill points on the outside, because I'll get back to the skill points that are on the inside in a second. You get the skill points off your XP on the other side, right, that you can then put into your character's tree, so your class, your character, their tree, to, you know, do more damage or whatever it was. And again, I didn't get, you know, 4 matches wasn't enough to truly explore this, but then it was, you know, then that opens up the next round of them and so on and so forth. Then if that wasn't enough inside the game, they have these, I have copious notes on this, which should tell you how much I was like, I can't fuck this up. There's so much going on. There's the pink, like, drinks or whatever, pink F drinks. I'm not sure, again, if it's from the movies or whatever, right? But in there, you can find them in game to enhance your melee ranged fear, stamina, shield for that match. So it's like on top of what you already have, you can find stuff to then make you more powerful on those categories as you go. I didn't feel overwhelmed by it. Like, it makes sense as you're playing, and I know I'm just doing the thing I hate doing on these shows where I'm just a faucet of information trying to drop it on you all, but it did give me that idea when I was done of, like, all right, that was cool, but are we gonna have fun with this long term? Like, would we come back to this? Like, is this gonna be a cool stream for us that we do for the first thing, and maybe some, you know, for we do it on a Friday and then we all get in with Snowbike Mike on a Saturday or Sunday and screw around a little bit? And if the answer is no, like, then we're never going to see the skill trees all the way through. We're never going to get to the really cool stuff at the end. And are those original matches always going to feel like this, where it's just like, well, we just can't win. We just can't beat the thing here to actually see the end final phase and get to the thing. And then if it is about getting way more powerful and doing it, going through, like, would the game get boring of doing it the same way and over? I don't know. Andy, your hand went up.
I think it's kind of one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't situations for developers in these situations where, like, whenever you have one of these games, after 3-4 weeks, the immediate cry out is like, where's the content, right? And there are different ways to put resources into different pools of content, whether that's like, maybe we put a lot of our resources and work into other maps to play on. But here it's clear that, like, the content they're choosing to go with is, well, there's a lot of different characters to level up. Yeah. And that's where you can get the variety of gameplay. I do think that's a bit weird in that, like, again, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yes, you have all these different classes, like, similar to when Overwatch started blessing. You had, like, offense, defense, tank and support or whatever. If you choose to not do that and choose to have how many characters? 12? 13?
There's 13 survivor characters.
If you choose to have, like, 13 survivor characters and they all have kind of almost Avengers-like, very similar abilities, it's like this starts to feel samey at a point. And how can you differentiate this dude's machete against this girl's sword or whatever? Like, that's where it starts to kind of get really mixed and muddled. So it seems like they've chosen the approach of, we are going to get more playtime from the diehards in leveling up all these different characters and getting every trophy possible, whatever, even if that even is a thing. The map, Greg, the map kind of reminded me of the Friday the 13th map. I just don't know how large it is in terms of, like,
it's big.
How long does it take to get across it and stuff?
I mean, like, every one of these matches that we lost, right, was 30 minutes, 30 plus minutes. Damn, and so like Jesus. you're hustling and moving. And remember too, like I think one of the things Barrett showed there was like us like just getting destroyed outside of a garage. And that was one of those like, okay, we couldn't keep people up long enough to keep, you know, the objective going to then move on to what the real thing was at the time we needed to go do. And so like you're hustling across this map. And then on top of it, you're not just running, right? It is, all right, well, I'm looking for matches because I'm about to panic and that person's going to lose it. So you need to light the thing. We didn't light the thing. Okay. And again, this is also, you know, four different people who aren't strangers by any stretch of the imagination, but we're not like, you know, a close-knit group. Like maybe, again, if all four of us played, I think you'd have a rhythm of moving together and doing the thing, but we're figuring that all out. But you're going, and then, you know, the demon possesses one of you, but then he sends a bunch of deadites to you, so you're stopping and you're fighting and you use up the ammo you were trying to save for a bigger thing. And it's like, there's all these risk-reward things happening in it. And that's where it got crazy. Then, of course, like, you know, there's the 30-minute timer for the first two phases. And once we got that, the timer went away. And we're like, oh, great, cool. Let's take our time. Let's loot these houses. Let's go. Then we noticed that there's like a Fortnite-like wall circle thing that closes in. It's like, oh, Jesus. Like, there's another thing on top of the thing now that's moving to make all this happen. And again, this is us being tossed in the deep end and going to play. And again, I enjoyed what I played. I am excited to get codes for this and do a stream with you all. You know what I mean? And I think another thing that is cool for it is like, it's asymmetrical, which of course means they want you to play it in multiplayer, but there's a bunch, the modes, you know, obviously you're play as survivor, play as the demon, but then there's play as the survivor versus AI demon, play solo, do a private match, and then there's missions, which are like stuff pulled from the thing. So there's a bunch of different things to do. So I feel like we could get in there and not, you know, feel like we're getting destroyed by a demon or whatever right away. Andy?
Sorry, I know I'm the one always.
I love it. Asking number one games journalist right here.
I try to get to the bottom of the stories. You know, try to get the scoops. I was wondering about. I know you say you didn't mention or you didn't get to play as the demon or whatever. Yeah. Is that more of just? Is that gameplay just like RTS type gameplay? You may have already mentioned this, so sorry, but like
I know I didn't. I know, but it's
spawning things, but like, are you in real time actually swinging this thing? I am attacking you like Jason would or Predator would.
It is real time them shooting around the map and laying the traps and things down. And that, this is again based on what I watched from Game Informer today. Game Informer, or not even today. Game Informer has the cover story on this, so they have a whole bunch of content up or whatever. But like, yeah, for demons, you're picking between three classes, and then yeah, you're summoning stuff, you're laying traps. You don't see. You have to go find the people on the map, or if they get in like cars or their fear gets out of control, they can you can kind of see them, and then you can flash, and there'll be a jump scare for you as the human that's like I don't know, like dead out on the screen that then lets you know they know where you are and they've seen you and stuff like that.
Remember Crawl? Remember when we played Crawl for party mode? It was that like 8-bit dungeon crawler. One person was the one setting up traps and like I want enemies to spawn from this thing and from that thing or whatever. That seems pretty similar to this.
Yeah, 100%.
Greg, I'm surprised this isn't by Illphonic because it kind of seems like their thing to make, like you were saying, Greg games, but specifically like IP-based asymmetrical multiplayer games, specifically like things focused on that kind of like horror vibe, which I guess it was just Friday the 13th, but you know, things like Predator, Ghostbusters upcoming.
Also like Dead by Daylight. I think that this for me strikes me more as that than the others. I think more for the thing of the actual like the complicated aspects of it. Like the more Greg went on, the more I was like, man, this reminds me of the first time I played Dead by Daylight, where I have like my friend Yami and other friends I have like are super hardcore into Dead by Daylight, and I played it about twice now, and both times I was like, damn, these are a lot of characters. Oh, damn, all these characters have skill trees and shit and leveling and items and shit to unlock, and it goes on and on and on. And the way you describe it, it sounds like a thing that I don't know if we're going to get into, but could have a long-term, like, diehard fan base. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Tim. Continue.
Well, no, you kind of got where I was going with it. Like, does this feel more like an Illphonic game or like a Dead by Daylight game, or does it feel like something that is kind of its own thing?
I mean, I can't speak to Dead by Daylight. It's the weirdest thing as much as I love Friday, and that never clicked for me. And I think it's because to what Blessing's talking about, you know, the times I jumped on, and I'm talking early when we jumped on, it was kind of funny content. Maybe we're at Achievement Hunter or something, but we jumped in, and it was before they had all the licensed people. So it was just monsters. And I was like, oh, this ain't really, I'm really feeling this. But it did seem like there was more complicated mechanics on top of it that would be like this. And so like,
also as the bad guy, you are in real time controlling and slashing as opposed to like
laying it out and having
going out to AI like the sort of battlefield view.
Barrett, I sent you on Slack the demon gameplay from Game Informer if you want to pop that up just so you can see people shoot around and like lay these portals and stuff like that. That again, I can't speak to.
You're calling me the normal games though. So this guy right here, Greg Miller, getting all the footage for us.
Just taking it from other sites. Yeah, it's great. Right on it. Number one video game blogger. Yeah, so I can't speak to it. Like, I don't think it's, I don't think Friday the 13th was that far from a Dead by Daylight. I think there's more going on at Dead by Daylight, don't get me wrong. But I think mechanically what you're playing, because even right now as we're watching, you know, the demon shoot around here, the demon master or whatever, like, that reminds me so much of when you use Jason's ability to fast travel around the map in Friday the 13th so you get closer to your guys you're fighting and do whatever for it. And so, like, you bring up the thing, Bless, of like, we might not get into it, but there could be an audience that gets into it. That's what I'm interested in, of like, is the Dead by Daylight audience like stoked to get out there and play another game like that and invest all that time in it? Or is it like, you need the Evil Dead audience to get in here? And then is the Evil Dead audience going to be so into Evil Dead in the world that they want to go? And all these characters are from the movies, apparently. They got the same actors to come back and do stuff with them. Like, is that a real draw to them, or does it get, you know, again, too dense for what they want to do with it? Because like Friday worked for me so well because it was, you know, granted, you know, the counselors had different abilities here and there and the Jasons had different abilities here and there, but for the most part it was jump in, try to find the fucking car battery and get the hell out of there, right? Whereas like this one does seem, again, like I only played two characters. I played one match is one thing, and then they're like, you need support, and I'm like, I will run support the next three matches, and I ran it that way.
So I think
it might not be that way.
I think the Dead by Daylight audience is set.
Yeah, right.
I feel like that's also just a game that's kind of a miracle, in my opinion, that like it's so strong and it has such a dedicated fan base, and the concurrent player base on Steam is always higher than I would have ever imagined. And
yeah. It constantly gets updated too. Like they added more villains. Exactly. Yeah, like I think, you look through and it's like there's Ghostface, there's the Demogorgon from Stranger Things, like Pyramid Head is in there, and the list goes on.
Yeah, like if Dead by Daylight were at a state where, you know, the player base wasn't happy with it, in the similar way that whenever Call of Duty Warzone or one of these Call of Duty games is ever struggling, you wonder what's the thing that's gonna like pounce in on this opportunity. And I just haven't really heard of any moments where the Dead by Daylight community is like, this fucking dead game, they're not updating it at all. Like, it is constantly getting new things. So, like, I feel like this is maybe for in just like when Battlefield comes out and the Call of Duty players go, oh, let me go try out this new shooter, play it for a week or two, back to Call of Duty. I feel like this might be that for
those. And that's the thing is, I'm speaking out of turn since I don't know much about it. I just don't know how big the Evil Dead audience is these days in terms of like they're going to be there and they're gamers and they're going to show up and they're going to station. Now, all that said, like I'm talking about, like I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to playing it with you guys. Like I legitimately, and there's a ton of content here. It's worth pointing out too. It's a $40 game, right? So, I mean, like there's a lot of content. There's a lot of stuff to do in here. There's a lot of things for you and your friends to go get into, but I don't know if like the audience is going to be so diehard for it that they're going to stick around and do it.
I think the idea of something like new and fresh could get people in the way that Andy's talking about, like, oh man, Battlefield's out. Let me take a break from Call of Duty and play some Battlefield. I think depending on how much of it feels different from Dead by Daylight, that could bring people in, maybe not permanently, but enough to where if they're able to get enough of an audience to sustain and maybe even compete with Dead by Daylight. Because like the thing I hear whenever I talk to any of my friends that are into Dead by Daylight, it's usually like, oh yeah, I played this for hundreds of hours. Like it's either you played no Dead by Daylight or you played a little bit, or you've dedicated your life to it. And it is shocking how much people like really genuinely love Dead by Daylight and continue to go back to it. But also I think that could lend to, all right, I put in hundreds of hours, I've played this game forever, me and my friends want to continue this, but also like, is there something like this that is fresh? And I don't think there's been a good competitor to Dead by Daylight that has come up and like has tried to go all the way and doing the same things. Like you've had Friday the 13th and you've had Predator, but I think in terms of scale, those don't necessarily scale up, whereas Evil Dead sounds like it's trying to at least systems wise do a lot of like, hey yeah, skill trees, level up, like you didn't mention Battle Pass. I don't think they mentioned a Battle Pass or anything like that,
but no, like, nothing like that. No.
Wouldn't be surprised if like later on they were like, okay cool, now here's long term, if you subscribe to this you'll get more awards or whatever, right? Like I think you start to build those, you can then start to see if like a competitor to Dead by Daylight could work. But at the same time, yeah, like Dead by Daylight is Dead by Daylight, and it's hard to imagine that like it's not already like cemented as, no, this is the place you go if you want to
play that genre. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, Dead by Daylight is so diverse. It has so many different IPs and things in there that for Evil Dead to be Evil Dead, great, cool, but like, is Evil Dead big? I don't know. Is Evil Dead
it's big the Fortnite for horror fans, you know?
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. And so like, again, Evil Dead, from what I played, those four matches, I want to play more. Like, I do, and I could see, again, if we were going to do multiple streams of it, of really committing to a character and a skill tree and going through and being like, all right, cool, I'm going to get really great at being this character, and that going far and that, you know, enhancing how we do it.
How does the game feel to play, like, in terms of gameplay? Like, is the action fun? I know for me playing through Predator Hunting Grounds, like, that was one of my big complaints, is that the shooting was good enough, but it was never, like, it wasn't great first-person shooting. It was serviceable. Does this surpass serviceable? Is it actually fun? Is it actually good?
Oh, yeah, I would think it's past serviceable. Again, it's third-person if you're in the car. I should have probably said that. Maybe you didn't. It's third-person. It's action. It's, you know, we see the shotgun here as we use it, and then we see me meleeing and missing a bunch here. I think this might have been my first match, but all of that, like, feels powerful, it feels impactful, and it feels like you could stop these things. Again, like, I think that's the big thing, right? Where, especially for Predator, where it would feel like we're putting round after round after round into the Predator, and, like, you're not doing anything. Like, he's barely bleeding. Like, all right, well, this isn't fun, and now I'm just going to run. Whereas this one, I felt like I could stand and I could fight, and then those finishers, once you get in the rhythm, are plentiful in terms of it popping up and saying hit right stick, and you hit R3, and you hit R3, and you do something really cool and take them down. And, you know, I'm sure that on one of these skill trees I go through, there's going to be, okay, cool, you know, when you do a finisher, you earn a little health back, or you do these kind of things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I start looking at what we were failing at, and then start thinking, okay, well, how can we be better about that, right? Like, after our first match, it was, you guys need a support person, and somebody should be, I forget who he is, but this guy who can make amulets every, you know, whenever his skill recharges to get your shields going. And so you start to see that synergy, like, oh, okay, that could be cool to sit there and go, what is the ultimate team, or what is the team we want to use and run through? But then it's also that same thing of, if we start doing streams, right, and the first three matches, let's say we do, you know, it's a half an hour thing, we do four matches together, right, and you start just jumping around between characters, a different one every time, do you unlock anything cool, or do they all feel like limp? They all feel like, well, no, we couldn't finish this, we couldn't get to the end thing. And like, yeah, if I commit to the third character I used was pretty cool, I should have probably played the entire time with that, and I kind of feel like I wasted some time doing that. Or do you feel like, no, that's cool, and I want to get out there and do it? Remains to be seen.
You left that motion blur on, though. Oof.
Any final thoughts on Evil Dead?
Sit down on the machine, they say, play the game. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go in there like do that. You know what I mean? This isn't me setting up, you know, for a long night here. This isn't
Ask him for a better monitor. Get him a little mouse and keyboard going, Greg. Come on, Big Dung.
Sorry, buddy. I'll let you down on that one. I'm sorry. What was that, Tim?
Any final thoughts on Evil Dead?
I really enjoyed it. Like, I hope I bookended that enough to let you know that, like, I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed the game. Like, I am excited to play more of it and see if it sticks or if it doesn't stick. But, like, it's interesting to walk away. And, like, it was talking to people after the event, like, what do you think? I'm like, man, I had a lot of fun, but there is a lot going on. That's what I kept saying all day long, talking to people. Like, there's a lot going on in that game. And I feel like I'm barely scratching the surface of it. And I think that for a lot of people, that'll be a huge turn on of like, yeah, me and my friends do want to get in there, and we do want to, or even just one person wants to get in there and get really good with a character, or really, you know, into the weeds of what the ultimate build is. And then I think there's gonna be a lot of other people who jump in and go like, yeah, it was fun, but like, man, we just got our heads kicked in. I don't know if I loved that enough. We'll see. May 13th, right around the corner.
There you go. We're gonna talk about more games, but before we do that, let me tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Credit Karma. Are you earning credit card rewards? Credit Karma can help you compare your reward options so you can find a card that fits your lifestyle, helping you earn miles or cash back for spending you're going to do anyway. I've been using Credit Karma for years. It's such an easy way to just keep track of my credit score and make sure that everything is going fantastically with so many great features. Credit Karma uses your credit profile to show you offers that are tailored to your financial situation. Credit Karma partners with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you're exploring all sorts of options. Comparing cards on Credit Karma is 100% free, and it won't affect your credit score. And best of all, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you your chances of approval before you even apply, helping you apply with more confidence. That is an awesome feature. Credit Karma, create your own karma. Ready to find the card for you? Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. Go to creditkarma.com or the Credit Karma app to find the card for you. That's creditkarma.com. Now that we're back, boys, earlier this morning, as of recording, we reacted to the mini indie showcase by 6-1 Indie, the homies out there. A bunch of kind of funny best friends making some cool stuff happen, both from the game development side of games featured and from the showcase itself. So that's really cool. You should check that out and check out our reaction on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, where we react to the entire 30-minute showcase. And from that showcase, there was a couple games that stood out to us that we're like, you know what? We can't even wait. We got to play them right now, right today, because they are available in different forms of access. I played one that's in early access on Steam. Greg was playing a little bit of one that is available now on systems. But first I want to talk about X Zodiac. Barrett, I sent you a trailer if you want to bring it up. Thank you. It is a Star Fox like spiritual successor, and it is awesome, y'all.
Yeah. So it's like it rips, dude.
Dude, it is exactly what I want it to be. It feels exactly like Star Fox 64. I cannot praise this thing enough. Wow. You can play it right now, the early access version, the demo for free. You get only 2 levels, but you can play them over and over and in Star Fox fashion. Like, that's kind of the fun of it. I am so surprised by the quality of this and how much they just nailed the everything that makes Star Fox special so far. I boot this thing up. You get a bunch of options visually, where you can play either like normal retro mode, which I think most of the footage here is, or you can play it in high res mode, and it kind of just makes all the polygons like extra sharp. And I actually preferred playing that way, which I was a little surprised by. I thought I was gonna prefer the pixelated retro look.
Did it look more N64-ish in that high res mode? Because like, as we're watching the gameplay here, it looks pixel art, right? And reminds me of Super Nintendo more than N64, even though they are 3D models.
It's so interesting. So it is such a mix between Star Fox Super Nintendo and Star Fox 64. But when you put it on the high res mode, it does kind of play more like a super high res HD N64 game.
It's like when you get like an HD PC mod for Super Mario 64 or something like that.
Yes, like the texture packs that all of a sudden like change mm-hmm. everything. So that's super cool, but it has the like sensibilities of the Super Nintendo Star Fox, which I'm definitely a 64 boy, but I know a lot of people out there love the Super Nintendo version. And one of the key differences, and for those that don't know, Star Fox 64 is essentially a remake of the Super Nintendo Star Fox. So like, they're essentially the same game, just on a different generation. So this one kind of takes, I think, like the design aesthetic and look of the Super Nintendo game, but because it's made in 2022, it is a lot more modern looking and pretty, and the colors are just fantastic. The soundtrack is in the style of the Super Nintendo game, so a lot of super dope like SNES style, like kind of like electronic music going, really kind of nailed the vibe. And you have your little animal friends that are talking to you throughout the whole thing. The first level didn't have many of them, so I was a little let down as I was playing. I was like, oh man, like the most important thing about Star Fox is the dialogue and the back and forth, and it wasn't until the end of the level that we started getting some of that. I'm like, okay, cool, so I do have some homies. And then level 2, it was just from the get-go, they're talking the entire time. I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. And it is the old style of dialogue. There's no VO. It is just the little like noises as you see text go. Mm-hmm. There's a fun nostalgia to that. I again prefer the 64 style. Like, I would, if this game had cheesy VO, that would just take it to that extra level. But each level ends with a boss fight that's like big and ridiculous and way harder than the rest of the level. Like, part of the fun is doing the high score chases, and in classic Star Fox fashion, if you see a bunch of different obstacles, you should probably go under them, because it'll unlock a different path or unlock a special ability or whatever. One thing that I thought was really cool about this and makes it stand out compared to any of the other games of this type that I've played in recent times is in Star Fox on Super Nintendo, you could just shoot. Your little reticle is in the middle of the screen, and you can just do your single blast. You upgrade your laser, but it's still just, you have to keep tap, tap, tapping. On 64, if you hold the A button, it kind of locks on to an enemy. What this one does is, as you upgrade your laser, you can hold the button and you can actually target multiple enemies and let multiple shots go at once. And it's really cool, especially when you start going up against the boss fights. And it kind of feels like Nier Automata in a way, with the way that like the top down kind of shoot 'em up parts of that game work. And I was like, this is fun as hell. I am so in. I have no idea when this game's actually going to come out or be finished. The
classic indie move.
Exactly. It was a Kickstarter game. It got funded a couple years ago. It's saying it early 22. It's called X Zodiac, which I don't think is a great name, but it's kind of cool because story-wise, it seems like the Andros, like the main bad guy, is called the Zodiac, and there's a team called Zodiac, and it's 12 different enemies. So each boss is one of the animals from the Zodiac that you're facing off against.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, it's really cool. So it's, again, it's just so great because it totally gets like what is special about Star Fox, and so many of the sound effects are like direct ripoffs and like the most close way you can, I'm gonna do this but not get sued type way, which I always appreciate. But yeah, and this is a great one to keep your eyes on, and so far the presentation is like authentic as all hell for Star Fox, and like they're doing Star Fox better than Nintendo has in very, 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 very long time.
Steam.
It is a Steam game right now, yeah. So you can go check it out on Steam. They're talking about wanting to get it on Switch, which, oh my God, playing this on the Switch OLED sounds like everything I could ever want. But yeah, I just hooked up a controller to my PC, and I was playing it. And I played through each level like four times just because I'm like, yo, this is a feeling I haven't had for a while. You get the bombs, you get the barrel rolls, like everything you want from Star Fox, you're getting in this. So great job, guys.
I can't find it. How do you spell this, bro?
It's EX dash Zodiac.
EX. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Tim, you said it was very similar to Nier. Is there an achievement for looking up someone's skirt?
Do you need to be a total fucking pervert to enjoy
like
this
blessing, one? You know?
I mean, there's definitely some pervert elements. Like, you can tell the main characters, you and your homies are all these monkeys, and like I can just tell that there's gonna get some Rule 34 action over there. So blessing, this might be a game for you. I don't know. You know,
just
what I mean?
Blessing, like looking the. Like,
I hate you all.
But anyways, you should check it out. And again, just if you've ever been interested in Star Fox, you might as well just download the demo. It's free and you get two levels. And I also want to say that it looks way, way better playing it than it does on any YouTube video I can find. And I'm not sure why. Like, it looks really, really, really crisp and high res when I was actually playing it compared to these videos. Some of them are 720p, but some are 1080 on YouTube. And it doesn't look nearly as good as it actually does.
All them pixels and YouTube compression, man. All the dancing, like all the dancing kind of aliased stuff going on, you know.
Last thing I want to say about it visually that I have never seen in this type of game. I'm a big fan of like 2D animation in a 3D space, and we've seen that a lot recently with even just like the tilt shift stuff that we see from like Octopath Traveler, like the HD 2D and all of that. This is obviously different, it being like legitimately like a polygon based game, but the explosions they look like Super Nintendo fire. So it's like little fireworks, but they're 2D, and it's 2D in a 3D space. So when you're flying through it, you're flying through 2D explosions, and it's a visual effect unlike anything I've seen before. And it's really, really damn cool. So check it out. But Greg Miller, you were playing another game from this showcase. What was
that's
it?
Right. That's right, Tim. How are you?
I'm good.
One of the games we loved that was in the same Out Today segment or whatever, right, over from the 6180 people. And again, if you missed the showcase, RAX is up, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. But you could also just go to 6180.com/showcase. And you spell out 6180.com/showcase. See all the games they had up there because they have like 18 games and so many of them are awesome. But I'm talking specifically about Anno Mutation M. Another game with, I think, a terrible name. But I've been playing it off and on here since the stream ended and we got to go into it. And what you're getting is like a 2.5D. Sorry, what was that?
It's pretty perverted.
It's super perverted,
I wasn't going to say it, but you know what I mean? Look at those dresses.
Maybe we all need to just admit video games are perverted. And what are we going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
2.5D cyberpunk action adventure game, right? And you see if you're watching, right, it goes from you're moving around the world and you're talking to characters and you're, you know, fleshing out these conversations. You work at a bar, your sister's bar at some points, but then you get into these combat, this really satisfying combat loop where you have big bosses that I fought this guy earlier here, right? But then you have a whole bunch of other, like, almost Streets of Rage-y, side-scrolling fight and beat them up these people, right? And you have melee, you have multiple weapons. You know, I have multiple swords right now. I have like a light sword, I have this giant sword that kind of looks like the Buster sword. I have a gun, and then you have Andy, a dodge roll. You got a dodge roll.
Oh, get that done.
And so, like, I really enjoy the combat. Like, it's simple. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's not like, you know, this was the indie showcase. These are usually smaller games. It's simple, but it's engaging and fun. You can see it here, right? When they give you a lot of enemies on screen most of the time, or multiple enemies, I should say, maybe not a lot, but you have to, you know, okay, well, that guy's blocking, so I'll dodge roll through him, slash that guy, then I'll turn and shoot, then I'll dodge roll back over there. Like, I like doing that. You know, the first boss encounter with that big guy with the two chainsaw arms you saw a little bit earlier, like, that was a satisfying fight. And again, I wasn't, you know, being like pushed to the limit on it. And that's where I'm trying to figure out. I'm so early in the game, right? I'm still getting tutorial pop-ups as I run around and do things. It is very much like, all right, cool, is the combat ever going to get harder than this, or is this what it is? And this is a story-driven game, right? Like, right as we were going live, I went around, because obviously this game's been out a little bit, actually. IGN has it marked as March 16th, 2022. It's got an 8 over there from IGN. I think it just came to PlayStation this week, so it came to PC beforehand. Now it's getting another Breath of Life on PlayStation. And it seems like, you know, narrative is a big part of it. And from what I've played so far, they're doing it in the way that I really enjoy a narrative, where, like, I'm not being inundated with thousands of characters. I'm being given a few different characters that are interesting, right? Like, you have a bunch of emails from your dad. Well, you're playing as Anne, who you've seen the main character on this. She goes through and slashes stuff up, right? And she has this really poorly named disease or ailment that's like, not extremist or something, but it's something like that. But entanglitis, mm-hmm. where it's like, it's weirdly explained of like, you know, she occasionally like blacks out and like, you know, goes ninja on a whole bunch of people. So they're putting her in this suit that you see her fighting in that kind of reins those powers in. And so, like, basically there, you know, there's this thing she has wrong with her that she's trying to either take medicine for or find a cure for. And it involves her brother now and this doctor who helps you. But then, like, there was an email from your dad begging you to look into this medication. When I finally got to go meet the dad, right? Like, I opened the door to go and talk to him, and he's a robot. And it was like, no mention of this. And I'm like, so is she adopted? Is this that? What's going on with this? And then it's like, I popped into the codex and like read about it. Like, I think it's so rare that I actually find characters interesting enough to go read their bios. I went and read the bio about this dad who, you know, like, in this cyberpunk world, you know, basically replaced everything except his brain with the robot parts and did this thing. And it's like, all right, cool. Like, this is a neat little thing they have going on here in this world. There's, you know, skill trees are talents, they call them. You know, of course, you go through, you fight, you earn the points, you get to go put them in there. And like, I'm looking at it right now on my screen. It's not like Assassin's Creed Valhalla where, like, there's no way I could possibly get this, but there's enough where I'm like, oh, this will be fun to go through and unlock these and choose what I want to go do. And so right now my criticisms would be, I want more action. Like, I enjoy the fighting so much that I wish I was getting more of it. But again, I'm still very early in the game. So it is, you know, the place setting right now of talking to a million people and going through it. But again, the conversations in the world they're doing, they're, you know, it's not, I guess it is, it's open world, right? Where you have a map and you can go between all these different areas with your car, but you're picking up side missions. So you can go off and do these little things and figure them out. There's one I'm stuck on right now that I just don't understand what they want me to do yet, but I don't understand it. Like, I'm stupid. I think I haven't found it yet, which I like. Like, I like the idea that I kept going. There's these two apartments, and I keep looking through the peephole, and she's like, there's something different about what, but what is it? I'm like, oh man, I took screenshots and I'm like comparing them. I'm like, what, what do you want me to do? Do I not know the mechanic yet of like how to tell you something's different? But like, I'm enjoying it. Tim, I think mm-hmm. it's one of those games that has so much style. And I think that it's a style that's speaking to me. I put up, Barrett, if you want to throw up, the tweet I did, I sent you the tweet after I sent you the thing where I'm like, man, Anno is a vibe. And I put up these screenshots and it's like, it's just, this is a fun world to be in right now. It's a colorful world. I like Anne. I think, you know, when she's doing the combat, which is basic, right? It looks cool. This is like, you know, I was doing a big move and you get like the slow motion. It zooms in on this of you using like your final slash. And there's similar to what we're talking about with Evil Dead. There's like finishers where you go in and you kind of saw somewhere you're like doing a million slashes and you get the big, you know, cross X on it. And, you know, I think cyberpunk obviously is something that is everywhere in video games all the time, let alone with cyberpunk. I think this one isn't like shoving it down your throat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know that I'm in cyberpunk and my dad's a robot and that's cool. And like, I'm picking up chips that I could put in my head. And right before I think I talked about it, right? I got that, I bought the erotica thing or whatever that I don't know what the hell it does, but I was like, I'm buying this in the game. Like, it's a fun little thing. And there are little conversations that are cute and I'm interested to see how it goes and where it goes from here.
Andy, you know what this reminds me of?
Katana Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's fucking
combat not as good as Katana Zero. I'm not at all going to sit here in front for you and be like, because I mean, that was like, that game felt so good, right? But yeah, the game is, I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I know, Blessing, you talking about starting it soon. I know you liked it from the thing too. Barrett, you're asking me for codes. I'm interested to get other takes on it. Cause yeah, I'm enjoying it. And I want to continue. I had picked up No Man's Sky again this week and I've been having a lot of fun with that, but that's going to go to the back burner right now. I want to play more of this.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying it out probably right after this episode. Like right now we're in backlog season, and so I've like booted up multiple different games where I'm like, okay, cool, now I want to play 13 Sentinels, I want to play etc. And then yeah, seeing this morning, I had saw it earlier in the week as I was like looking for games to play, and I saw it on the PlayStation store and I was like, damn, all right, this looks cool, but like I don't know, like this seems random, I've not heard of this game before. And then seeing it at the showcase this morning, I was like, all right, damn, it's time. All right, I'm just gotta download this game because I've seen it enough, it's a sign. And so I can't wait to try it out. I'll probably talk about it on PS Love You, I bet, this week.
Oh yeah,
Andy, a couple weeks ago I was talking to my homie over at Epic, and every once in a while he'll recommend me some upcoming games, like some things that aren't revealed yet, some things that are just early looks or whatever. And he's like, I know you guys over at Kind of Funny, I think you might like this. And he'll show me them and I look at them, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give this one to Mike, I'm gonna skip out on this, whatever. I saw one recently called Myth Force and he was telling me about it, and I was like, oh man, I need the boys to play this. This looks like totally up Kind of Funny's alley. Y'all did a stream today. I didn't get to watch too much of it, so I need to know from the horse's mouth, what did you think?
Nay.
Oh, dude, I had a lot of fun with this game today. But I think a lot of it is because of the character that I chose, which luckily you can have duplicates out on the field. There are four characters to choose from. Very D&D like. This game is supposed to kind of emulate an 80s fantasy cartoon, and I think it does a great job of that. It's a roguelite where there's four different characters to choose from. One of them is an archer sort of character, which is what I chose. There's an up close and personal sort of warrior. There's a roguelite character, and there's a roguelite, that's funny, that's a funny little thing, an actual rogue, you know, like with a dagger that, you know, is fast and stuff like that. And then there's a sorcerer. And I wanted to keep playing. I didn't want it to end because we worked so hard to get to the point that we got to. And then we were able to push through and find new weapons and new abilities. And it's got all of those sort of roguelite tendencies that you just sort of really dig. Unfortunately, I think my only issue with it is feel like the loot was like super inconsistent, which that's kind of the point of roguelites. But it, like, for the first two runs, I was finding upgrades for my bow. And then for the next like eight runs, I didn't find a new bow. And I was like, we're going to this big boss sort of arena, survive for 2 minutes area, and I don't have a weapon upgrade. Mm. And that felt like the RNG was just kind of scaled in a not so great way. But I couldn't recommend this game more. I want to keep on playing it. I want to definitely stream it more. It has this sort of the four classes you choose, you have persistent upgrades and unlocks as you continuously level up and play on that character. And not only are you, I guess, similar to what you were mentioning, Greg, not only are you upgrading abilities for the people like you were in Evil Dead, you have those permanent upgrades, but then in the game you are leveling up, and then you hit the T button on keyboard to kind of like almost in Hades. All right, what do I want to upgrade next? I have these three options. These three things are here. Let's see. This thing raises my critical damage by 20%. Mm-hmm. This thing does blah, blah, blah. And like you're kind of choosing which option sort of works best for you. I had a lot of fun with this game. I want to play it more. I'm hoping to play a little bit more of it tonight because, again, I think the first character I started off with was the rogue sort of character who has a sword. I was like, this isn't super satisfying to me. But once I switch over to the archer character, it's like, oh, this is great. I'm having fun. It feels like Hanzo, Blessing, playing Hanzo with a bow and arrow, getting those headshots, getting the critical shots, feeling like you're making a difference. Unfortunately, I was playing with three other buffoons that are just picking up loot. And it's like, well, that loot should be mine because that's range damage. Why am I not? Why are you taking that? You don't need heals, Nick. Nick, you don't need heals. Why are you taking the fucking health potion? Like, it was just it became a nightmare after a certain point. But yes, Blessing, somebody who understands basic roguelite mechanics definitely needs to give this a shot. I had a lot of fun with it. I want to get back into it because I want to see how it progresses and how it starts to change visually, because we had gotten past a major area and the next area looked pretty similar. So I wonder, like, is there a snowy part? Is there a volcano part?
Is it final release or is this early access?
Early access.
Gotcha. Yeah, this reminds me a lot of Fire Reborn.
Buggy in some ways. Like, we ran into a couple bugs today. We had, like, a full crash for all of us one time in the three-hour play session. And then there was a moment where Mike got stuck in a room, because when you clear out all these enemies, these gates come down, and Mike got stuck in a room, so there was no way of getting him out. That didn't seem intended whatsoever. So it's still rough around the edges in some ways, but nothing really too noticeable that I go, oh man, this game's a mess. Like, I had a lot of fun with it.
Cool. If you guys are interested, you can check it out. Epic Game Store. Just use Epic Creator Code. Kind of funny.
I yelled at Kevin a lot.
On the stream?
A lot. A lot. Yeah.
But Andy, I don't want to let you go too quick.
Don't let him go. Hold him down.
You just got something in the mail.
I did. I got a package in the mail as soon as the podcast started for something I ordered that I didn't think I'd get until like mid-May or early May. I bought the Scuff Reflex PS5 DualSense controller.
You know you're serious about something, Andy. You know you're serious when you put it on the calendar. I saw on the calendar a couple days ago that you had to wake up to pre-order this thing.
Yeah, because these things, the Scuff controllers, I guess they only make a certain amount and they go out of stock pretty quickly, and then they had been out of stock for a while, and I guess they'd gotten to a point where, all right, we're ready to let people pre-order once again. So I ordered the middle-level controller.
Ooh.
sorry. Hello, frog in my throat. The most expensive controller, I think, is like $280.
Is your camera flipped?
Yes.
That tripped me up for a second because I see the D-pad on the right side and I was like, is that a weird Scuff controller thing or is that just insane?
Yeah, Baron and Kevin will flip it like so we can all kind of face the same way. This has the back paddles, which I have been so longing for. You know, I love my Elite controller. I need the back paddles. This is the middle level one, and the top level controller, which is like $30-$40 more dollars than this one was. The triggers are not the sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? DualSense.
Adaptive,
yes. The top level ones are basically like a mouse click. It's just like a little tiki-tiki. Mm. Oh, no. And that's for more first-person shooter players. But everybody knows I just need this controller to play Souls-like games, or I need a dodge or a dash button on the back paddle. And I've just been wanting, some sort of add-on. Obviously last year near the end of the PS4's cycle, they added that sort of little add-on that you could put on the back of the DualShock 4. And I was like, man, that'd be great, but this is like really late in the game and like they're coming out with this so late. And I've been waiting for this thing to come back in stock, so I finally got it. I'm excited to try it out. I'm excited to continue to run Snowbank Mike through Returnal on it and put the jump button on one of these bad boys.
Feels really, really good. Originally, you guys were talking about how bad it was going for you guys. Is it better now? Are you guys getting in a rhythm on Returnal co-op?
Oh, we're getting in the rhythm, yeah. Okay, I mean, I think I just sort of over-exaggerated, but we're having a fun time with it. It's such a damn good game.
Has it gotten easier? Because when we did the stream, me and you were struggling real hard to get past the first boss, because it seems like once you go into co-op, they raise the damage and the levels of the enemies, and like loot becomes less available because you're sharing loot. The more you play, does it get better?
I think the way we were playing Blessing, we were in that race against Nick and Mike. And when I played with Mike, we're not racing. We're going through every room. We're making sure we're checking out every area to get every upgrade possible. So it definitely became easier. We killed the second boss? The one in the fire area? Is it the third boss? Oh, we killed the third boss where you are flying across those floating platforms. We kill the third boss, and we are in that. That's the moment where you think, spoilers, you think the game's over. It's not. Spoilers, everybody.
Guys, there are spoilers. Andy just talked about spoilers.
Yeah. Spoilers, yeah. We beat the third boss, and we are moving on to the fourth boss, hopefully pretty soon.
Is that the musical one, Andy?
Yeah, I'm so excited, dude. It's such a good one, man. So we haven't even started that world yet, so we'll get there soon, hopefully. But yeah, this is a a very expensive controller. It's like $250, but it's something that I've been wanting for a while, so I splurged on it. Very excited to try it out.
Yeah, dude.
Is it sticky?
ASMR, everybody.
Okay, you said you splurged on it.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Oh, gross, Barrett, gross.
Oh, Barrett.
Wow, wow. Who's
You're
the pervert
a pervert
now?
Too, Barrett.
Jesus.
Yeah,
oh my God,
my man.
All right, let's land this plane. Blessing, play date. You've been playing it. Mm-hmm. What's the date on it?
The it's 420. It's 420 is today's date. The play date is pretty cool. And I put up my review and I talked about it on KG earlier that like I gave it a 3 out of 5, calling it okay. Like a big part of that is I think it's a pretty cool piece of hardware that's held back by some key things. One of those things being ergonomically, it's not like the best to hold, and I think the crank doesn't get as much use in a lot of the software as I think it could. You know, if you're unfamiliar with the Clay Day or if you've somehow missed out on what it is, basically it's this a Game Boy with a crank, right? It was developed and made as this thing to put out and give to developers and see like what kind of games that they can create for it. And so if you buy it, right, you buy it and then you get access to Season 1. Season 1 gets you 2 games a week for about 12 weeks for a total of 24 games. And then other devs will put out games that you can buy and then sideload onto the console. And I think they're planning on doing future seasons as well. But that's pretty much what it is. In the review period, I've gotten access to all 24 games from Season 1. For me, instead of it being weekly, it was daily. I would wake up on any day and have 2 more games until the 24 were filled. And so I've not checked out every single game because that'd be too overwhelming to do in the review period that I've had. But I have checked out, I think, over half of the games on the thing. And I honestly, I enjoy playing it. Aside from backlight thing, aside from like the ergonomics, I think the games on it range from like small, fun, and clever. You have like the first game that I got on this thing was a game called, hold on, I open it up. It's like a Wave Light. Hold on.
No, the surfing one.
The surfing one, yeah. For some reason, it didn't open up on my homepage. Yeah, it's basically like an arcade Whitewater Wipeout. That's what it is. It's basically like an arcade surfing game where you try to like go up, do tricks, Tony Hawk style, land, and then go for a score attack kind of thing. That was very basic and very like, here's an arcade game that you can play. And then like, that goes all the way up to, you know, another game I played called I forget the name of these games now because they don't have them all listed out. But like Kranken Presents Time Travel Adventures, which is basically like a kind of like a puzzle platformer game where you are fast forwarding and rewinding time to try and get Kranken, the main character, to his date on time. Like, there's a lot of different weird ideas in here. They got visual novels in here. They got a game called Inventory Hero, which is a little bit like Loop Hero, where your character is just like on their own quest and are getting into battles, and you're just equipping and unequipping different armor sets, different items, different weapons. And like the selection of games has been pretty cool. They've all been pretty unique, and they've all been like some level of, oh, this is neat, to, oh shit, I might spend some more time with this. And with that, like, I've been enjoying it. The actual like design of the hardware itself is like really small. You can like fit in your pocket real easily. It's very like bright and yellow. Like I kind of just like having this thing on my desk. But yeah, like it's the play date. I dig it. What was it?
You said one thing's holding it back, and no Souls game, right? Like that's what it is.
No Souls game. Yeah, and not enough games with like dashes and parries in them. Mm. I would say
yet. Yeah.
Dead on arrival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the price on this? I'm sorry if you already said that.
It's like $180, I want to say. Okay. It's a lot. Yeah, but that price gets you Season 1, which is 24 games, which I think helps it out. And it's a thing where you're going to want to get this if you're an enthusiast. Like, if you saw the trailer for it and you're like, oh, that's my shit. I love handheld games. I love, like, the old school. I love the old Game Boy. I love, you know, these cool little arcade-style games. Then I think it will be for you, and I think you'll enjoy it. If you're somebody who's on the fence about it, then I'd say maybe wait and see. Like, wait to see what other games come for it. Wait to see like how people talk about it, and like if what people say about it speaks to you. Like, the $180, I think, is a steep price point for this thing. Like, I don't know if I would honestly pay that much for what I've gotten out of it. But if you're a fan of the idea of it, if you're a fan of the concept, and if you want to like do the week-to-week thing of, cool, I get 2 games a week with this thing, and like I get to discover alongside my friends or alongside an online community checking these games out, then I'd say it could be worth it. Like, it is what it is. Like, it is what you see in the trailers. And I think it lives up to the promise that it had.
Did you
Go for it, Andy.
I was going to say, like, I was going to ask if Bless tried out any of the web browser type sort of
like the side-loaded, like the games that people love for it.
Yeah, well, more on the, if you go to the web browser, or not the web browser, sorry, like the PC sort of app version of it, you can mess with some developmental tools, I believe.
Yes. So, yeah, they have all the tools available for you if you want to develop your own games for it, which is really cool. I didn't mess with that stuff because I'm not a game developer. I did mess around with, if you go to the website, you can download a mirror. So you can actually play your Playdate on your PC and just connect it via USB, which helps with the backlight situation, but also that takes out all the point of it being a handheld. But I did that just for just so I can mess around with it. Just if I was in a situation where I'm I don't feel like playing a handheld, let me play on my PC. I did that and enjoyed it and did that to capture footage as well for it. But that stuff is cool. And it seems like there's a lot of stuff they're doing to open it up for people using it the way they want to use it. I didn't get any of the accessories they have for it. There's one cool accessory that they have that's a holder that you can put your Playdate in, and it can work as a clock on your desk, and it has a pen holder, and it has it's this cool weird quirky thing that they have with it. They're giving a lot of cool options for people that really want to go all in and mess around with the Playdate and have fun with it. And let alone the tools are out there for developers. So there are developers that already have games that they're making available day one for the Playdate. I've had PR folks slide into my email and be like, hey, I see you have the Playdate. Let me get you a code for this game they can sideload and play that way. It seems like people might be a bit more dedicated to this thing. And the same developer behind, this is announced a while ago, the developer who made Return of the Obra Dinn is working on a game for this. It's not part of season one, but it will be a thing that you can buy separately. And stuff like that is where I think the Playdate can get really cool. If you get just random ass game developers, right? Or notable ass game developers, right? You have the dev from Return of the Obra Dinn. What if you have Maddie Makes Games, who did Celeste, right? What if you have these game developers that we know for making these cool classic indie games, or even bigger games, right? If you're able to get Corey Barlog somehow, or Hideo Kojima to make a game.
Alana Pierce.
I think that could bring a lot of promise and also bring a lot of people in and make people get real hyped about the thing, especially if you have a blow up hit game. I think that would be off the chain. So far, none of the games I played are oh, you gotta play this. All of them seem varying levels of, oh yeah, this is cool. Oh yeah, I dig this. I have my favorite games on it. There's a game called Demon Quest 85 that I talked about on TikTok. That's it's a visual novel-ish game where you are trying to, you have a book that is filled with different demons, and you're trying to summon every demon in the book. And the way you do that is you find an item to offer the demon. You find the right music to play to summon the demon, and then you go into your yearbook and try to find the right people in your class to bring to summon the demon alongside you, because each demon has a set of requirements. And the more you play, the more you get clues to how to summon each demon. And I was surprised by how much time I put into this. I absolutely enjoyed it as a puzzle, and as hey, I can talk to these different characters, get the personality of all my different classmates. The range and the things that people are doing with the Playdate in terms of the types of games they're making, I'd say it's pretty impressive. It's pretty cool to see. There's a photography game that is laid out like an Earthbound in terms of the overworld. You're walking around the overworld like it's a JRPG, but then you go into your inventory and then you bust out a camera and then you use your crank to focus in the camera and you're trying to take pictures of birds and shit.
That's cool.
Yeah, stuff like that is really cool, really, really cute, and I think that is where a lot of the personality and charm of the Playdate comes through. And if that's for you, this is going to be for you. You should check out the Playdate, or at least keep an eye on it. If that's not for you, then that is not for you. And $180 is a lot of money to spend on this thing. But I've enjoyed my time with it. I look forward to playing more games with it. I hope they do a season two, because I want to see what even more when you have way more ideas come into it, what that looks like. But yeah, overall, I've been having an all right time with it.
Is this something that you think you would buy if you weren't asked to review it?
Personally, not at this moment. I could see myself I guess part of it depends on time too. How much time do I have to play a thing like this? But $180 for 24 pocket games, I think I would personally pass until I saw a developer that I truly was a fan of, or I saw a game that stuck out to me that people started talking about of yo, did you check out this? When that conversation starts, I think that's when I start to be all right, maybe I'll give this thing a shot. Right now, I'm not in that place. And I think that's kind of where I come back on the 3 out of 5 score, where, none of the games are that I've played. Because again, I've not touched every single one of the games, but none of the games I played were home run. Oh, this is off the chain. And none of the games made me go, man, the crank was a great investment. This thing could have lived without, so far, this thing could have lived without the crank. And most of it probably would have been the same. Like, I wouldn't have gotten Kranken's Time Travel Adventures, and I wouldn't have gotten that Whitewater Wipeout game, right? Because those are controlled primarily with the crank. But a lot of the games, like the Earthbound game where I'm like adjusting focus, you could do that with the D-pad if they wanted to make that an option, right? Like, so many of the games there could have or do have alternate control schemes that don't need the crank. Demon Quest doesn't need the crank. Inventory Hero doesn't need the crank. Like, there's a snake game on there that's like the Nokia snake that they call Snack because the apples that you're eating also eat back at you. That doesn't use the crank, right? But Bear is really quick on the draw and has it pulled up here. Like, I played a lot of this game just because I love Snake. But like, none of this really needed the crank, and I'm not sold on the crank. I think I could get there if somebody does something really cool with it. But like, as of now, I'm like, dude, any of these games could have lived without the crank and it probably would have been fine.
I wonder if there will be a point with this device that in the way that Stadia got exclusive games, that it gets to a point where it's like, I want to play that game, but I don't want to buy that damn device. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then we see maybe these games get ported to Steam, or you know what I mean?
Like, that was this morning during the 6-1 indie showcase. They had a playdate game there that, yep, I believe they said was also coming to PC, and so that's kind of already smart. Happening. Yeah, and it's like, it's smart, right? But also, like, I think this has the thing that Stadia doesn't, which is like,
that was Bloom, by the way. It's coming to Bloom, itch.io as well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and like, this has the novelty factor of it. This has, like, if you're making a playdate game, you're making a playdate game. And, like, I can see developers being like, might as well put this on PC too. But,
yeah,
you know, there's a level of, oh, this is different. Like, Stadia games are just PC games that, like, just happen to be exclusive because of deals or whatever. Whereas, like, if you're making a game for playdate, you're making a game for playdate because it's such a unique thing. But, yeah, I think that's going to happen too.
Yeah, I meant, like, in terms of, you know, hey, we're making this game for playdate. Oh, man, units aren't moving as fast as they would. But the people that did play it loved our game. Should we, you know, find a way to, you know, put this on another place where more hands can get on it?
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, how many people buy games for it, because with it coming with 24 games and it, like, part of it being, hey, developers are making games, are making available online. You buy the games, you load them on it. I didn't necessarily go into the playdate thinking about buying other games. I was thinking a lot about season one, and I think that can come back to what you're talking about, Andy, where games get released for it, and it's not even about the units out there because the playdate is sold out, right? Like, they're now at the place where they're selling units for 2023, and I'm sure those are going to sell out too. Like, they've allocated a certain number, and they're hitting that number. But I wonder how many playdate owners end up buying video games. Like, I think that is going to be the big factor into what you're talking about, and I don't know if they are, unless they are going to be the big hitters. Like, unless it is going to be the Return of the Obra. I'm sorry that I don't remember his actual, like, dev studio name, but like the Return of the Obra Dinn dev putting out a game. I think that's going to get a lot of buys.
Lucas Pope,
thank you so much. I think his game is going to get, you know, a lot of attention. Our other game is going to get a lot of attention if they don't have that kind of name behind it. You know, sure. I think that's the wait and see.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. Let us know in the comments below if Playdate has you interested at all or not. Until next week,
how are you doing, Tim? How are you?